All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Evolutionary Health Radio Show. It has been, Mike, I think it's been a month, hasn't it?
Too long. Yeah, I seriously think the last time we talked on here was after the Hawaii Open. So it's it's been a while, a month at least.
I know, life's been a little bit busy, but I'm really excited about today's show. It's going to be super awesome. I don't really have another word to describe it besides super awesome or epic. We have a really awesome guest on the show today, and we're going to introduce him in a little bit. But before we do that, we'll take care of some business. So we want to thank our show sponsors. We've got 360 Athletics. They are a pretty much supply anything and everything you need to get a good workout in. They've got training gear, they've got nutritional stuff, they've got pretty much everything. It's all high-end, good quality stuff. The company's incredible. The people that work there are awesome. We're actually going to be having Joe on the show here in a couple weeks, so I'm excited for that. But you know, if you need anything for training gear, nutrition purposes, go check out 360 Athletics. And then we have Stronger, Faster, Healthier, also known as SFH.com. Pretty much top of the line fish oil supplements and grass-fed whey protein. Can't really stress enough how important it is to go through a reputable company when you're doing stuff like that. And we'll probably wrap up this show with a nice little rant about nutritional supplement companies that Mike and I had a few weeks ago. We'll put it on air.
They are now sponsoring Chad Vaughn, two-time Olympian for weightlifting as well, too. So he seems to really like them. So if Chad Vaughn likes them, then I like them. So
then you can vouch for them.
Right.
The other order of business today is we have a official winner of the free grass-fed meat contest we had about 2-3 weeks ago. So we were trying to get the word, the evolutionary health word out there. So we basically, anybody who promoted our website, followed us on Twitter, followed us on Facebook, left us comments on the website, I threw their name into a drawing. And Mike, you're going to have to help me with the last name, but the winner is actually Jeanette
Montanane.
So Jeanette,
something like that.
You actually only live about 7 miles from me. So let's get in touch. You can either contact me on Facebook, the website, whatever. And we will get you hooked up with some grass-fed meat. Woo-hoo. So
that's a pretty sweet deal. I think she'll be excited about that.
Yeah, I hope so. Shoot, it's free grass-fed meat. How can you not get excited about that?
Right? It's free. FREEFOC, free of charge. That's what my dad says. Something for nothing. Something for nothing.
Love it. So, yes, Jeanette, you get some FOC grass-fed meat. So hit us up. We'll hook you up. And that's how we do things here on Evolutionary Health.
Boom.
So we're going to skip all the normal banter, Mike, between you and me, and we're going to introduce our guest. So I don't even know how to introduce him besides the fact that him and I have been introduced and we've been chatting back and forth for a couple weeks. So Mike, our guest is actually named Mike as well. So I'm just going to let him introduce himself. Mike, tell us about your background, kind of who you are, a little bit about your journey and, you know, kind of what you're doing now.
Yeah, man. Basically, I've been training for probably like since I was 13. I'm 30 now, and I was always kind of doing the Gold Gym stuff and bodybuilding and all that stuff. But when I started getting into more like playing football and actually sports, that's kind of where we started getting more into like actually researching about exercise physiology and exercise science and starting to kind of put the pieces together. So kind of at an early age, I sort of had a niche for training in general. And I sort of became the go-to guy a lot of times for all the strength advice at my high school, especially in junior high and all that stuff. And as I progressed in age, I started getting more and more into it. And after graduating high school, I had opportunities to go to probably like 6 or 7 top D1 schools to play football, but I ended up turning it down to jump in a van and go tour the world to play music. And so that was kind of a big passion of mine that I wanted to pursue, and I did. And same thing, while I was on tour, I was always working out, stopping off at different gyms or working out in different parking lots and stuff. And so that's kind of where I sort of took my learning even more so, because you know, we'd have these long drives of like 18 to 20 hours, and, you know, you're just sitting in a van or a bus the entire time. So I literally just have stacks of books and, you know, my highlighters, and constantly just researching and learning more and more. And so it was sort of funny because I would always be like on tour and training anywhere from like 15 to 20 of the guys on tour with us. And by the end of the tour, we'd always have like everyone would be partying every day, but everyone would have gotten in really good shape in about 2 months. So it was sort of like always just kind of different contests before we started and everything. And yeah, but so outside of the music stuff, you know, I got back to Boston after touring all that stuff, and I just was like, man, I need to really buckle down and start training and do it full time. And so I kind of did the typical, you know, new trainer route of just working on different places and different gyms and just trying to figure out what I ultimately wanted to do, what made me the most happy, I guess. And I got a couple of opportunities to work for some smaller private sort of boutique one-on-one training places, which were terrible, but they were really good. But they were really good on the same time because, like, you know, one of the trainers I worked with was really smart, but he was a total just jerk, but I ended up learning a lot from him. And from those jobs, I ended up figuring out, like, ultimately who I wanted to train and, like, what I didn't want to do. So I ended up getting offered an internship at a gym in Boston called Total Performance Sports. And basically, that was something I just wanted to do. I knew that it was unpaid, but I knew it was going to be something that I really wanted to pursue. And I did, and it ended up becoming probably one of the best, you know, I would say probably the best decisions I ever made as far as the training world's concerned, because working with, you know, I worked with a guy named CJ Murphy who owns the facility, and he's, you know, he's a world-renowned strength coach, and I pick his brain every time I'm there. You know, he constantly still to this day is a big mentor for me and a really good friend, and all the coaches there, I met so many great guys through them, and it's just been a very awesome learning experience. And I'm still there once a week, even though I'm running Iron Force Athletics and do my own thing. I just mainly do that mainly because, you know, it's still kind of one of those things. I always want to feel like I'm always learning and continually learning. And I like to be around people that push me to learn more. So it's a great environment to be in. And now I'm about a year out of running Iron Force Athletics, and we've been kicking ass. It's been going really well, and just things have been kind of upscale ever since.
So, I mean, your background is pretty interesting. The fact that you know, kind of turned down college football and traveled the world to do music, and then kind of came back to, you know, what drove you as a kid. And, you know, one of the things I think that, you know, you and Mike Vaccaro and I share is that we've all done the volunteer in a weight room with a really good mentor thing. And I think that's, you know, especially for people going into our field, it's such a unique experience. And, you know, like you said, where I did my internship at Gonzaga, working for free for them for a while, is I still go back every time I'm in Spokane and just go in and train and hang out with the coaches and learn. Because like you said, great mentors are hard to find. And when you do, it's, you know, keep pushing down that pipeline and get every piece of information you can out of it.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, it's great too, because, you know, through Murph and all the guys that at TPS, like, I guess like my inner circle of connections and network has just expanded like insane. And we're actually shooting over to New Jersey. I think we're going in January next month or in February to Joe DeFranco's gym for a weekend. We're just we're just going to go over and train. And I'm like, dude, I would have really never probably had the opportunity had I not, you know, bit the bullet and just interned there for, gosh, I was over there for 6 to 8 months or so. And it's kind of one of those things too, like, and I'm sure you guys experience this as well. Like, you're going into an environment, and even though, like, you have a good background and, you know, you're up to date with all your knowledge, it's like you're still the brand new guy, and you're still kind of like getting hazed and whatnot, and you're sort of like, God, no, everyone's sort of sizing you up. And it took me probably a good 3 or 4 months to really kind of warm up to everybody. And once they did, it was like just everyone sort of welcomed me with open arms. And it's been such a great experience for me, because it's literally like I told Murph that too. Like, even to this day, I'm a coach on his roster, but I'm only there, again, once a week, and only for probably about 4 or 5 hours, because my schedule is just too busy. But I'll always make time for that, mainly because I just don't ever feel like I ever want that to be out of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's relationships too are such a big piece, because, you know, I think it was you that posted a quote the other day about how it's always important to be in a room surrounded by people who are smarter and more experienced than you, because that's really how you learn and grow as, you know, a coach and things like that.
Right.
Side note about Mike Cassavant here is that he posts the best motivation, like, daily.
Oh my God, yes.
Daily. Like, if anything, if you do not have self-motivation and you need something to just get your butt up and go to the gym, just follow Iron Forest Athletics or Mike Cassavant on Facebook, and oh man. Also, he does put some tearjerkers up there sometimes.
I know. I've used those a couple times the past few weeks to get me through the day.
Yeah, right.
So I know, man. Go ahead.
So let's I kind of want to talk a little bit more about, you know, Iron Forest Athletics, and you kind of have a unique niche and concept kind of behind the whole idea of your gym. I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, what exactly the concept is, a little bit of, you know, the theory behind it, and then, you know, how did you arrive at this kind of current concept that you're working with?
So pretty much, I mean, like, I've always favored, I mean, it was funny because before CrossFit was anything, like, I've always sort of been doing, like, that type of workout. So, and I didn't really know what the hell to call it. I was just always like, okay, it's like a powerlifting endurance-based program or something. And I was always doing it with that, but
I still think they don't really know what to call it.
No, I know. Truly, it's just you know, and I guess, like, back when, probably when I was like 16, I think probably between 16 and 18, you know, I was doing a typical like 5x5 routine or whatnot, but like, it was just sort of, but I was always supersetting it with like other movements. And so, mm-hmm. for example, like if we were going for a really heavy deadlift, I would follow that up with like 4 tire flips and then right into like 10 pull-ups or something. You know, just like constantly moving. Like, I guess that's the whole point of my approach to our hybrid strength training, is just that it's really just maximum effort with the minimal amount of recovery. And I mean, and Brad, as you know, like, you're running one of the programs right now, and that's obviously a lot more geared to more just a strength-based program. Whereas some other stuff, like, we probably get more metabolically sound with some movements, but I think for the most part, it's that, like, the general template of sort of what I want to base our programs going forward is sort of like what the AV program that you're sort of running right now, which is cool. But I mean, it's also too, like, you know, one of the things, I have a business coach that's a mentor of mine as well, and he told me one time, he was just like, man, you know, who's your audience, and just, you know, figure that out, speak to them always, and just kind of figure out, like, how you can find a niche within a niche. And so I guess, like, as CrossFit started getting bigger and bigger, I was like, man, there's so many people kept coming to me being like, man, I need to get stronger. Like, I need to develop my strength more. And I was always like, gosh, you know, just come to the gym, man. Let's train. So I started picking up a lot of CrossFitters that just wanted to be competitive, that wanted to, you know, focus on their strength gains. And so we sort of carved our niche around the Massachusetts area as, like, the strength guys for CrossFit, which is pretty cool. But we also, like, you know, but I also don't want necessarily feel like I'm limited to just that. So, I mean, we train a lot of athletes, and I also do, like, a bunch of sort of stay-at-home, like, wealthy women as well. So it's cool, man. It's a good mix of everybody.
So would you classify hybrid training more, it's like you kind of said, based on the strength lifts? So squat, deadlift, bench, overhead, yes. Overhead press, those things, and then it's kind of goes into a HIIT type of training, and it's all encompassed. So it's like you said, it's kind of like CrossFit, but more strength, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's definitely, like, I would definitely say there's a CrossFit element to the hybrid strength training method, but it's also, like you said, man, like, it's based off of, you know, your main compounds. And then you just superset your essentially secondary and accessory movements. And so that's kind of where, like, the appeal to CrossFitters is, because a lot of times I talk to a lot of CrossFitters and they're like, man, like, I don't want to focus just on strength sometimes. And it's like, guys, like, you realize that the stronger you get, the better your wads are going to be, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to do a Fran when you can front squat and overhead press, you know, significantly more than just the 95-pound barbell.
Of course. Well, and that's what I always talk to them about. I'm like, guys, like, if you can get your max deadlifts up to like high fours, and then your WOD is at 225, how, like, if you don't smoke that, like, there's something seriously medically wrong.
Well, that's funny that you say that, and my coach preaches this all the time. We have to have excess strength. Yes, maybe I can squat, you know, 400 pounds or whatever it may be. So that'd make my 200 something pound clean and jerk cake and easy and just
right.
Smooth, flawless, right? So that's the same concept and that you're preaching here.
Totally, man. And I think, you know, like, one of the things I preach to everybody too is just that, like, all of our programming is always strict based. There's no momentum movements. It's all basically just to maximize, you know, because I want them to understand, like, the concepts of grinding through movements as opposed to just kind of developing the momentum to help push them through it. And so it's funny because I posted something yesterday. I think it was yesterday about, like, pull-ups and how everyone should do them and everything. But, like, I spoke specifically about how I never program kipping pull-ups in my workouts because I just feel like most people get so held up on, like, the trendier moves as opposed to developing maximum effort on the basics, right?
Right.
So I guess, like, I'd rather see someone bang out, like, 25 strict pull-ups as opposed to 100 kip pull-ups. You know what I mean? Like, so obviously there's two different movements completely, and they each take different a different strategy and approach. But I always say, like, I want to see them progress with their strict pull-ups because it's only going to help everything else in their training, right? And so most of the guys we train initially, they're a little turned off that, like, I'm so against a lot of this CrossFit stuff, but I'm not. But they're just like, my programming, I want very specific to, you know, to capitalize on their gains 100%. And so when they actually finally, like, kind of give into the method, I mean, 8 weeks, 12 weeks later, I mean, their WODs are improved. And without even Olympic lifting in our programming, their Ollie lifts go up. So it's kind of one of those things. It's just like the natural progression from, you know, being initially a little turned off, but then just realize that, like, okay, like, I'm not trying to make them worse. I'm only trying to make them better. You know?
Right.
So here's a question about hybrid training, and I'll probably throw some of my own background experiences with it, is a lot of the male demographic, you know, from like 20 to 40 is really concerned on with putting on size and weight. And I think the aspects of hybrid training that at least I've seen and have actually kind of used in the past, I didn't call it that, but is probably one of the most critical things you can do in order to put on size. I guess, you know, more specifically is in order to put on enough volume in your workout in terms of, you know, weight times rep times set, is if you have a baseline level of strength that you've incorporated into it, it makes putting that load on your muscle to elicit, you know, actual physiological size gains so much easier.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And, totally. 100%.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I made probably the poorest decision of my life and was like, you know what, I'm going to do an Ironman, right? So,
oh, just that little race.
Yeah. So I spent a good probably 9 months training for it, and I lost a ton of weight, and by the time I was done with the training, I think I was, this is going to sound disgusting, I think I was down to like 159 pounds or something terrible. And so, you know, I was like, all right,
for your height. That's,
yeah. You know, 6 foot, 159 pounds. I looked like a toothpick. So I went on the, you know, I need to put some weight on goal, and, you know, I just kind of jumped into the more hypertrophy based stuff and spent about, you know, 12 weeks just hammering that. And I wasn't making any gains, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what's going on? Why can't, you know, I'm following all of the physiology I know, I'm following all the nutrition stuff I know, and I'm just not seeing big gains. And so I was talking to one of the coaches I was working with, and he's like, you know, maybe we need to talk about strength first, because if your hypertrophy sets are, it's such a low level of weight, you're really not doing enough volume to elicit actual big time growth. So then I did, you know, about 8 to 12 weeks of big strength gains, got my strength numbers up, and then started to do more a very hybrid based training thing where I was doing, you know, my big lifts, my squat, my deadlift, my bench, my overhead press, and the anywhere between the 5 and 1 range, and then doing all my supplemental work in the, you know, 8 to 15 range. And I was able to put on, you know, 15 pounds pretty quickly just because I changed my baseline level of strength. It was remarkable how effective it was.
That's amazing. That's so awesome.
Yeah. So your concept I used years ago and I didn't even think about it.
I stole it from your brain, dude.
You probably did. So we've been talking about your brainchild hybrid training. What does it look like in practice? I mean, you know, I'm familiar with it. Mike's familiar with it. Kind of if you had to kind of describe it and how you put it into practice, what does that look like for people?
I guess I talk about a lot of times about having energy and atmosphere and all that stuff. So like when people come down to train with us, we usually have anywhere from, I try to keep our main groups to down to like about 10 people max, with two, sometimes three coaches, mainly because I just want everyone to feel like they're getting 100% attention. Mm-hmm. And so there's always just insane music playing all the time. And it's just, that's just how it is. But you know, what we like to focus on, I always say, like, in the main movements or our main compounds, that's always a lot more focused, you know what I mean? And whereas everything else with, like, our accessories will be a lot more, like you were talking about, like, it's just more of an interval-based outline. So whenever we're working on our, like, so, for example, like, in the eight-week program you're running, so Monday is a swap for 5x5 into good morning for 3x10. So those two movements, obviously, there's about 70 for the first 2 weeks. There's 75 seconds of recovery between each set. So that's a bit more like, you know, we're watching everyone's form 1,000%, making sure everyone's just delivering it, you know, 100% effort. And then after we get through that, then it's like no hold barred. Everyone's just going ballistic, trying to get through, you know, as fast as possible with the best form. With their accessory movement. And so I guess like when it's coming to practice, man, it's just that, like, I'm a complete Nazi when it comes to form. And I always say, guys, like, you know, never sacrifice form for intensity. I'm sorry. I just, unless you're going for a max effort, or like a one rep max effort where, you know, your form is going to be less than stellar. Other than that, like, I should never see someone's form. Like, here's a funny example. There was a newer kid that just started like sort of popping in the gym and he's been sort of tooting around the idea of coming to train with us. And, you know, and I was watching him deadlift and he was just warming up with 135. And I was like, dude, why? Oh my God. Like, you are the worst deadlifter I've ever seen. I mean, I'm talking like the worst lumbar curve I've ever, it just like every possible thing that could go wrong in a deadlift, he does. And I was just like, man, you need some serious work. And so, but he thinks he's this like magnificent CrossFitter and all this shit. So I'm just like, dude, this can't happen. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So he finally kind of humbled out a bit and realized, wow, my form is not like those guys. You know what I mean? So like, we really try to push everyone to be, you know, as intense as possible. But the fact remains that we always dial everything down to make sure that your form is 100%, and just like, you know, that you're always focused on that and never let that stride away from you, even when you're going after it 100%.
That's a very good concept. I think people sometimes lose the forest for the trees when they're training and they just think about how much weight can I put on the bar and that, right. You know, putting an extra 20 pounds on the bar and sacrificing some form is worth it, when really it's not. You're not teaching the motor patterns. You're not teaching the adaptations. You're kind of just, I don't really know what word I would use, but you're just kind of being a slappy about it. You're not really there to train. You're just kind of there to go through the motions if you're not doing it right.
No, absolutely. And I don't know if you guys have seen this, but like, I guess one of the things that one of my drawbacks with a lot of the CrossFitters that we train initially has always been, man, like, there's such that everyone's in the biggest rush to get stronger. And I'm like, guys, like, take it easy. You know what I mean? I'm like, if we put on 2.5 pounds on a lift, that's huge. Like, but they want to see like these massive jumps. And I'm like, guys, like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's just
that is such a good point. I see that constantly with, you know, the most technical list, like a snatch. Oh, I didn't PR this week. If I PR, you know, once every month, 2 months, 3 months, then that's, you know, a good point. Yes, maybe. Absolutely. If you're just new to the sport or lifting in general, you'll probably get some PRs every week, but right. you can't expect that kind of stuff. And if you do it right, put in the time, it'll come. But that's something that CrossFit is kind of you know, making their athletes are kind of adopting this idea is just because that sport is such a fast growing sport and fast moving in general during the WADs. And I think that's something that they kind of adopted, is that they need to be PRing every week.
Right. Which, yeah, I mean, granted, I think all of us collectively talking right now, like, have all been that way. Like, when I was younger, I was, you know, I think I would throw on so much just ignorant weight all the time to be a tough guy and try to be impressive to my fans, you know? But then when you start really breaking it down and you're realizing, wow, like, if my form at 135 is crap, like, why do I think at 315 it's going to be any better? You know what I mean? So,
right.
That's kind of where I see a lot of the guys, like, you know, I mean, again, like, where the gym is based, I mean, like CrossFit New England, one of the biggest boxes around, is literally across the street. There's probably, I could throw a rock and hit like 15 boxes within a mile. It's they're all over the place. And so, I guess like that's sort of where, but, and I constantly see that like on their websites or their Facebooks, especially, they're just constantly updating like all their, you know, I'm friends with a lot of these guys too. And they're just like, oh, PR and PR. And it's like, guys, like, I mean, PRs are fantastic, but like they, you know, like you had just said, Brad, like it happens for a novice lifter way often, like really probably every 2 weeks you'll probably see huge jumps with a novice. But like as you progress in 3-5 years under the belt and under the bar, I mean, those PRs are going to get shorter and shorter. And it's kind of one of those things, you just know that, like, I think one of the things I try to push into all my clients and all the members that I work with is just that, I'm like, guys, like, it doesn't matter. I'm like, you understand that there's a process and there's a life element to what we're doing. Like, just because, you know, we're doing this right now doesn't mean 2 weeks you're going to be on the at CrossFit Games. It's not gonna, you know what I mean? Like, we're doing this to get you ultimately better, but know that, like, we've got a 2 to 3 year period where that's how long it's going to take to get up to the weights you want to actually hit. And so initially everyone's so turned off by the idea that they have to put so much effort into something over the span of 2 years. But it's like, but when you think about the bigger picture and you know that, wow, I'm training for this for the right reasons, then that 2 to 3 years seems really short. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Totally. And then, you know,
I think Jim Wendler talks about that all the time. And he talks about how, like, people want to progress so fast. But, like, if you just take a step back and realize that, like, any minuscule progression is a massive progression in the bigger picture.
Yeah, totally. I think people just really lose perspective. And
right.
Kind of along those lines too, is there's kind of been this thought floating around, you know, a bunch of different online media stuff, but something I've actually been thinking about for a while, and you've posted about this quite a bit the past few weeks, is, you know, how do we get people to, instead of focusing on the PR, the weight they're lifting, how do we get them to focus in on the process? Like, enjoy the training, realize what,
right.
Like, for me, I know, you know, there's days where I'm focused on the goal, but, you know, for me, it's the process. That's why I get in and do what I do every day. But how do we, as coaches, as practitioners, as whatever, you know, what have you found successful in trying to get people to focus in on the process of the training and enjoying the training itself, not just the increasing my squat by 10 pounds?
Well, that's actually funny you said that, man, because I basically, like, you know, I'm a really positive, motivated, obviously motivational guy, but like I'm also, you know, I'm kind of a jerk when it comes to certain things in retrospect to I have a total no BS policy, right? So anyone that comes to train with me understands that, like, I basically have a list of obligations that they are to adhere to. And if they don't, and they don't think they can follow those adherence, then there's no point for us to train. And so one of the things that I basically try to convince people not to work out. That's kind of my point, to be honest. I'm always like, I basically put them in the most ridiculous scenarios, and I'm like, okay, like, listen, guys, like, if you come in and you're tired, like, look, everyone's tired, but, like, you have to be here and you have to be committed to the process. And, like, if you're not committed to the process, then, you know, you're not committing to me. And so if you're looking for a quick fix, I'm not the guy. You know what I mean? And so I think people, what I'm doing is I'm trying to
pick up mom and I'll meet you guys.
I'm trying to. That's awesome.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. Say hi to your mom. She's
beautiful.
But I mean, I think initially people as coaches, I think have to set the bar really high, and not so much as far as like, you guys better be squatting 1,000 pounds by next week. It's not going to happen. But like setting the bar on a mental level, and that's kind of where I really approach it with all my athletes and trainers and clients, because I think that, you know, when push comes to shove, what happens in the gym, it really dictates, you know, what they're doing for an outside of the gym. And so like, I always try to get in their heads, like, guys, like, we have to, like, you have to be so committed. And like, if you want, like, I always say, like, if you guys want to get to that next level, if you want to play D1 sport, like, it doesn't happen from you sitting on your butt not working out. Like, you need to day in, day out, when you're not in season, you should be in the gym training all the time. Like, it has to be a sickness that you're so addicted to it, because that's just what you have to do. And so I really, you know, I kind of, like I said, like, I really make people feel like, gosh, either if I don't show up to give Mike 1,000%, he's not going to train me anymore. And that's pretty much what I do. And I turn people away and cancel memberships right and left, because sometimes people will start getting like, either like, one of the things I can't stand, and I'm sure you guys feel the same, is an ego. Like, if someone comes in with just a crap attitude, I literally like, here's your money back, take it easy, I never want to talk to you again. That's just it. That's how I am. And so like, people, I guess, like, and that's sort of the reputation I want, because I want people to understand that, like, when they come in here, like, everyone that's paying to be with me is there to absolutely dominate and get better at their sport or get better at whatever they're doing. And so everyone's coming in to that environment, like, they need to understand that there's 10, 15 other people there that have gone through the process already, and you're just coming in. And so it's like, if you're not as dedicated as these guys, it's just, like, I always tell them, like, don't be scared. Like, you know, if you're a complete brand new beginner, like, that's totally fine and welcome. But just understand that, like, the guys that you're going to be training with are, like, pretty elite, but they're also the nicest dudes you ever meet and do anything for you. But if you're not going to put in 100% effort, then this is just a waste of our time. And so that's kind of, I think, like, as coaches, I think that needs to be the standard, is, like, you know, quit focusing on the short gains and look at, like, you know, the 12 months of what this person's going to progress to. And then from that, I go, okay, now we have another 12 months. And it's never like, it's never like an 8-week deal. It's always a 12-month outline. You know what I mean? And so I think that's kind of one of the areas, I think, as coaches and trainers, we can definitely progress to just kind of setting the bar higher and really expecting more out of our clients without having to, you know, make it so people should be feeling like they should be PRing every week. And that's, because really, at the end of the day, it's just not realistic.
Yeah, I really appreciate that perspective. You know, it's been frustrating for me watching, you know, kind of the whole industry as it's gone, and so many people are selling fitness, they're selling goals, they're, you know, they're telling you, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, I'm going to make you this, I'm going to make you that. Right. And they're not really, you know, what's the point of what we're doing? And it's, right. You know, and it sounds like you, the way you model your coaching style is that you're not selling, you know, you're not selling strength. You're not selling, you know, CrossFit WOD times. You're focused on, you know, we come in the gym and we work hard because that's what we're here to do. And I think,
right.
I think if you put things in that light, I think you can totally change people's perspective. So I think that's something that a lot of people can learn from.
Absolutely. And I mean, really, man, like I look at, like, DeFranco's gym is pretty much exactly what I want out of my gym, really, at the end of the day. Like, he trains – I don't know if you guys know his whole model or how, like, his groups work, but pretty much, like, you could be, you know, Johnny off the street, and then you're working next to four professional football players, two professional basketball players, you know, like, the environment over there is so ridiculous, man. And – what, it's funny, actually. One of my friends went over there over a weekend to work out, and said, "Man, it was the most intense, like, motivating place he's ever been." And pretty much, like, he had worked with, I think he was working with Triple H, one of the dudes from WWE. And Triple yes. H was like this monster of
that's
a human
badass.
Being, right? And he's shaking his hand, and he's like, and my buddy's like, "Dude, I'm a huge fan, whatever." And he goes, "Great." He goes, "Listen. If you try to drag ass and bring this group down, I will friggin' murder you." like so intimidating. And he was,
I will DDT you.
You know, like, those guys are so serious, because, again, like, I mean, it's their livelihood, man. They've got $1 million contracts. They're there to get better. And I mean, who better to train with than other than Joe DeFranco? Like, who, you know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, how amazing would that be? And I guess, like, that his environment is just that. Like, man, he's always says that, you know, he always says that it doesn't matter if you're a brand new or you're, you know, an elite athlete. If you come here with a crap attitude, I will not train you. And so I basically took that and I was like, man, that's exactly how I am, though. Like, I don't want to train people that make my job work, because I don't feel like I really don't feel like I work at all in my life at all anymore. I don't, because I love what I do. I'm passionate about it. And I truly feel like, I mean, not only have I found, you know, my outline for life, it's like, I just feel like now I'm at a different point where I can really start helping people even more so on a bigger scale. And so it's exciting for me. And I really want to put out the message that it's all about the intensity and it's all about, you know, the atmosphere, but it's also all about the progress and like the taking the back seat to the progress too, and knowing that there's a length of time to get better. But like, I always say, like, I would rather, I mean, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, but like, for example, with like fat loss pills and burners and everything, like,
oh,
everyone
my
wants.
God.
I knew Brad would be offensive. But like, our society wants the quickest fix to everything. So coming back to CrossFit with it, like, you know, I don't think they're doing anything different other than what society has sort of like pigeonholed us in. And really, when it comes down to it, it's like we're dealing with the most fast-paced time of our lives, and really, like, that's all people want. They want to see instant gratification, right? So, oh well, if I'm working out, I better lose 35 pounds in a month. But the thing is, there's trainers out there and programs, quote unquote, that are advertising for that, like, oh, lose, you know, 100 pounds in 3 months. Like, come on, dude, are you serious? Like, what? But the sick thing is, people buy it. I mean, people buy a shake weight, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Like,
and those, that's got that dynamic inertia effect, though. So watch out. That's good. That, you should incorporate that to hybrid training.
I'm thinking about doing some shake weight wads and seeing.
Who can shake weight the longest?
Oh my God.
So let's take a brief detour, and I had to bring this up because we had a great Facebook conversation about it, but let's talk sumo deadlift high pull.
All right, dude. Seriously. So okay, here's the deal. Like, so I was talking to Murph at TPS, probably, and that's actually when I asked you guys about it. And I think it was like a month ago? Were we talking about that?
Yeah,
maybe?
I think it was like a month ago.
Okay. So, and because literally the day before I was at TPS, and he goes, Mike, what the hell? He goes, if you guys know Murph, like, you understand. He has this total crazy Boston accent. Like, he goes, dude, Mike, what the hell's a sumo dead high pole? Like, what? He goes, what is this thing? He's like, what the hell is it? I'm like, I don't know. It's a sumo dead high pole. And so, he goes, can you tell me, like, can you break that down for me? Like, do you even know, like, what is it? And I was like, dude, honestly, like, I don't even know this. I can't even, like, I don't know why it exists. It's so weird to me. Like, this is a guy that's been in the industry forever. And he goes, dude, I literally have no idea what to say about it.
Really funny. That's pretty much my whole thoughts about it. I remember I was in Spokane one time, and I went to a CrossFit gym just because I didn't have a membership anywhere, and I didn't have anywhere to work out, and they were offering, like, you could come in for free and work out for a day, and I was like, whatever, I'll just show up. And they were doing sumo deadlift high pulls, and I just walked out. I had to turn around and leave.
That is awesome. I would have done the same thing.
I was like, all right, so what's on the wad today? They're like, sumo deadlift high pull, and I was like, I'm out of here.
That's just one. Those are two exercises I can't combine. I just don't see it.
Yeah, there's just like, if you're going to sumo deadlift it. If you're going to do a high pull, do a high pull. I really just can't fathom the whole idea of it. It boggles my mind.
It does. But then, guys, keep in mind, like, they're not doing just, you know, like a 5x5. They're doing, I don't even know what their rep schemes are, but it's for time. And it's like, okay, guys, 20-minute AMRAP, 35 2-minute high pulls, like 100 burpees. Like, come on, man. Are you serious?
Oh, I'd get dizzy, like, looking at the floor and looking up that many times.
Oh, my God. I mean, and I think, like, collectively, between the three of us, we could joke about how how ridiculous some of the workouts that do come up. You know, and it's comical to me because some of the guys that come in to train with me, they're like, oh, dude, you know, I did whatever. I honestly don't know, like, half the workouts that they do. I just, like, I come in and I laugh at them. I'm just like, you guys are ridiculous. Let's actually work out now. Let's get it up.
There's actually a really good, I don't know if you guys follow Greg Everett and Rob Wolf at all, but, you know, their podcast they have is hilarious. And there's a really good episode where Greg talks about it, and it's probably one of the funniest, like, 5 minutes of a podcast you'll ever listen to. It's
talking about the sumo dad.
Yeah, he just goes nuts. It's really funny.
You know, that's a guy, man, that I respect and love, and I really respect that guy so much, man. He's such a good dude.
I know. I love his I love how he just, he's so tell it like it is and doesn't really care about what everybody else thinks. Yeah. It's awesome. I love it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, and that's sort of what the industry needs, people like that. You know, I think there's too many neutral, like neutral liners that are just sort of like, oh, well, it's cool, but it's not. Like, he's just very bold and to the point. Like, this is how it is. This is what I feel. If you like it, great. If not, then get off my email list.
Right. Yep. I mean, I don't know if you guys watched American Weightlifting yet, but, you know, he talks about that a little bit, about how he kind of opened up his gym and he didn't know if he was going to make it, but it's just, you get the sense of that he does it because he loves it. He wants to better people's lives, just like you were talking about. And it's, you know, everything that he puts out isn't just for hype for himself. You know, it's to better his athletes or anyone who follows him. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I mean, Greg Everett puts out some good stuff too. I love that.
Yeah, I think he just posted something the other day about how he didn't realize the industry changed so much because, you know, you don't actually have to train anybody anymore to be a world-renowned coach. You have to have a fancy website and some really cool, like graphics. And I was dying because, man, like, there's so many self-proclaimed, you know, internet guru fitness guys, and it's like, man, it is comical, but on the flip side of that, they are dominating the website market and, like, internet market and making a killing. And it's just like, I guess it's funny too, because I was just having this conversation with Murph from DPS last week, and I was saying how, like, I'm like, man, you position yourself in the industry as one of the best coaches, one of the most knowledgeable guys, and, like, but you're not really capitalizing on that, like, on the internet. Like, how can you get that next level? Like an Eric Cressy, for example. Like, he's an internet marketing, like genius. But what he delivers is some of the most renowned information that is just, like, through the roof. And so he's seen, like, I think that's the next shift for Murph. And that's sort of what I'm sort of helping him, like, kind of get more up to speed on, because he's sort of outdated with, like, a lot of the stuff. So he's like, what the hell's an Instagram? I'm like, God, you're such an idiot. But no, it's an interesting time that we're living in. But, like, I think, like, anything, and the same thing to go with CrossFit. Like, I have probably, I don't know, like, 8 or 10 of my really good friends that had started boxes, and they basically teach CrossFit the way I would do it if I was an affiliate. And so it's great, and they actually, you know, there's a lot of, they actually lose members because they train, I would say, correctly, you know. And so but they also, you know, like, weed out the people that they don't want to train. So that's kind of it's a give and take, you know. And I think that's sort of, like, where I think the internet scene is thriving. It's also, like, hurting in a lot of ways, because the people that stand out that are really legit, like Greg Everett and Eric Cressy's and Jason Bruges, like, they're always going to deliver amazing knowledge and top of the notch, like, programs. But, like, because they put the years behind it, you know what I mean, and there's so much behind it. So at this point, like, they know they're a good coach, they know their stuff inside out, so why wouldn't they try to capitalize and make residual income off the internet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate that for every one of those there's, you know, 15 Jillian Michaels or somebody, you know, like,
God,
handing out caffeine pills. It's ridiculous. I'm just kidding.
So yeah, all right, here's a question. So if either one of you got offered to go on Biggest Loser as a coach, would you take it?
Heck no, dude.
God, that's such a hard question. I might do it for a season, make a little bit of money, and then break off and open up my own gym and do what I really want.
The only way they could convince me to go on that show is if they told me I could do it 100% my way.
Yeah, I was just going to say, why not go on the show and do it your way? Do some hybrid training or whatever. And
well, I mean, and that's actually where I was leading to. Like, I think I would, I mean, that's one of those situations that I would love to do. Because, again, like, what are we here for? We're trying to change people's lives, right? We're trying to help people. And that's, you know, those people on that show, I mean, desperately need help. But stipulation number one, I'm not training anybody in a Planet Fitness. It's not going to happen.
As long as you get a new sponsor besides Planet Fitness. That's another topic.
Oh, my God. I would literally show up with a kettlebell, a sandbag, and battle ropes and go, guys, hey, welcome to the next 12 weeks of your life. We're going to be outside.
I saw something online about Planet Fitness banning jump roping and like burpees or something like that.
Yeah, it was jump ropes, deadlifts.
Oh, deadlifts, kettlebell maybe.
No, they don't have kettlebells there. That would actually help people, so they don't want that.
I was telling Mike this story last year, but in Moscow, I live above a commercial gym, like my apartment's above it. And so I have a membership there just because I live here. And I was down there working out one morning. It's like 5 a.m. and I'm doing a 3x3 heavy squat day. And I go to rack the bar back on the rack. And obviously it's going to make some noise. And this guy comes over to me and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm squatting. He's like, God, why are you making so much noise? This is so dangerous. You're going to hurt somebody.
This is a gym.
And then he proceeded to inform the owners that I was causing trouble in the gym.
it was
mind blowing.
Yeah. Well, I was literally just joking the other day about setting up some sort of hidden cameras at Planet Fitness and going in with like like 8 or 9 of my crazy powerlifting and strongman buddies. Showed up like, hey, we're here for the 2-week free trial. Just like bumping everybody out.
I don't think they'd have enough weight plates for you guys to do squats.
No,
they'd probably
at all.
Run out.
I mean, you can only get so crazy on a Smith machine. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
All right, so Mike, tell me one of your funniest stories that you've had from coaching.
One of my funniest?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's a new thing.
We'll open up Pandora's box.
I know, seriously. One of my
Here, I got a funny one right now. I'll tell it quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I get a lot of women in my Olympic weightlifting class, and we'll go, you know, let's say we're going – they're all very new, so there's not maxes set up for them yet, for most of them. So this one lady – pretty good form, you know, she'd get under the bar super easy on snatches and stuff like that, and all right, you add 5 pounds or something like that, it's too light for you. So every time I would tell her to add weight, she would pick it up and like front raise it over her head, and I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I wanted to see if I could do it. I was like, of course you could do it now, you just front raise the bar over your head, so of course you can snatch it. Like what? It's the funniest thing. So it's like an ongoing joke that go ahead, look, let's lift this 100-pound front raise over your head.
Awesome. So here's a kind of funny story. So I was training a she was probably mid 50s client, woman, female, and she had some a good amount of weight to lose, and so I think I was with her for probably about 2 months, and so her clothes started fitting better, and she was seeing some pretty good results, and was very, very happy. So we're training one day, and I had her just doing some kettlebell swings, and she was just going after like so hard. So I was looking at her, I was like, wow, like, man, she's like really intense right now, and she hadn't been that way ever. She was very timid and just kind of like sort of like graced the surface, I guess. And so there was 5 other people there, and then I looked over and I was like, hey, you guys, have you guys seen her or whatever? I'm not gonna know. I want their name, And I was like, have you seen her? And they were like, I think she ran out or something. So comes to find out, she was going so aggressive that she pissed her pants. And so whatever hip hinge thrust, and she just was like exploded. And so I don't have the pants anymore, but I took a picture of her pants. Like after she did it, ongoing like text war all the time with all the clients. And it was just like, no, it was so funny. But that was probably, I mean, that was one of the funnier for sure. But like,
that lady has a good sense of humor to let you take a picture of her pants.
I know. Oh, she did. And here's the thing is, like, I'm one of those dudes that, like, you know, I make everyone feel really comfortable, and I, you know what I mean. So I was just like, Jesus, like, don't, who cares? Like, it was almost like Billy Madison, like, you know, when the kid pants and he, so.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a really good story.
Yeah, dude, that was a good one for sure. That was awesome.
Oh, so we'll close up the show. I have an experience that I want to rant about, and I'm sure you guys can join in. But Mike knows me pretty well, and I'm usually pretty calm and even keeled about stuff. But I immediately after this happened, I sent Mike a text message like, dude, you need to talk me off the ledge, or I'm gonna go crazy.
Oh man.
So there's a nutrition store in Spokane, and they usually have pretty decent products, and I had like a coupon for like 50% off or something. So I go in there and I go to just grab like some whey protein or something, just because I keep some in my pantry if I just don't have time to cook or something. So I go in there and I go to grab it, and I look at the bottle and it looks differently than you know what it normally was. So I'm like, oh, this is weird. So I grab it and I look at the back, and the ingredient list had totally changed. It was just full of all this garbage. And so I go up to the guy and I ask him, I'm like, hey, you know, did you guys change the formula? Da 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 da. And this guy he had no idea they had changed it, and they had just put in all this junk, and it was like something I would never put in my body. So, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna take it. And he's like, no, we didn't change it at all. So he sits there and he argues with me for like 10 minutes about this, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna leave. And so on my way out, this older lady comes in. She's probably like 45 or 50, and she's probably about, you know, she was pretty overweight, and so the guy asked her if he could help her, and she goes, yeah, I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm starting to run, and my goal is to run a half marathon by, I think she said, the spring or whatever. And she said, okay, well, what supplements do I need? So the guy, he's like, oh, I know exactly what you need. He goes and he grabs a mass gainer supplement and gives it to her.
What?
Oh, and I was standing there, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So
yes,
I,
everybody, he did say mass gainer. For a marathon.
I was just standing there and like in shock, and my jaw dropped, and I was just like, I don't even know what to do right now. I was so upset and angry. I couldn't even do anything. I just stood there and I was like, I don't even know what to do. So I was my mind was blown.
I mean, it'd be one of those situations.
Perfect example of why you should never go into GNC and talk to anybody.
It's one of those things, though, too. If you try to say something, she wouldn't listen to you because you don't have the GNC shirt on.
I know. I was just like, oh, my gosh. So I came home, and I immediately got on my phone, and I was like, Mike, this is so ridiculous. I can't even handle it. So, yeah, that was my interesting excursion into the nutrition store, and that's the last time I've ever been in one.
Well, I mean, let's be real, guys. Like, GNC is one of the most overpriced, ridiculous supplement places ever. Like, I would, oh god, that place makes me sick.
Yeah, I agree. I don't.
So there's, just be careful.
Yeah. there's a few places around me that like I've sort of developed some good relationships with some of the guys, and there's a place called Performance Nutrition. I don't know if they're like, I don't know. I think they're mainly in Natick or mainly in Massachusetts and some of the surrounding areas. But they're great, man. Like, the girls and guys that work there, they're all pretty top-notch. They don't try to sell you anything. They're just very, like, you know, if you have questions about something, they're very, like, you know, easygoing. They're not trying to sell you. They're, like, they'll deter you from a bazillion things before they sell you on it. You know, so it's really cool. Like, they're not salesmen. They're just very, just kind of cash. And I usually work with them. And Vitamin Chop and all that stuff, too. But
yeah, it's just, it's why you got to find good people to work with. That's the biggest key.
I know. And now, Brad, and so you, and now, what's your affiliation with Stronger, Healthier, Faster?
So I just actually ran into them at a conference this summer, and you know, I'm the only supplements I take are vitamin D in the winter, and then I take fish oil just because I don't have. I'm a PhD student, so I don't really have a ton of money to be thrown around on like wild caught fish all the time. So those yeah, right. those are pretty much the only two I take, and I've been looking for a good one. And I ran into these guys. One of the reps was at this company, and just you know asked him about the product and got to know him, and he gave me some samples, and just it's probably one of the best ones on the market, and just have kind of connected with them, and just really like their products. They're all really, really good. They're all really, the company's really transparent. They just kind of tell you what's what, and just it's just good stuff.
That's awesome. I haven't had the protein powders or anything yet, but my friend Brad owns CrossFit New Bedford, and he sells the product in the box, and he fronted me some fish oil. I was like, dude, I would drink this entire bottle.
Right now. I know. It tastes like candy, man.
It's really, really good. And you know, and obviously, like, you being nutrition and everything, and us, all of us being fitness, like, I don't want to read a label with 15,000 words that I don't even know how to pronounce. You know what I mean?
Right, so, right.
I'm always a big fan of anyone that goes against the grain and is really trying to make a good product. And that's kind of where that company. Have you guys heard of Fuel for Fire?
I haven't heard of them. No, I'm gonna look them up though.
Yeah, look them up, man. They're a fantastic company. They're gluten free. They're definitely started out within the CrossFit market, and they're just a really good like protein. I think it's only 10 grams of protein per packet, and what I find is, and I've been doing it post workout. And I just feel like I can't really describe it, man. Like I feel way better on it, and my recovery—it seems to speed up my recovery a lot. And so, just for shits and grins, I kind of took it out for about a week or so, just to see if I noticed any difference. And I totally did. And I was, wow, man, this is a really good product. And it's a good little snack in between the day as well. And I've been kind of like, you know, a lot of my clients have been interested in it, so I've sort of been partnering with them as well. And I think there's gonna be some big stuff with Iron Force and Fuel for next year, but it's a really cool company. If you guys ever want to check out any of their stuff, let me know, and I'll have you talk to Rob Gilfeather, the owner, one of the owners, actually.
Yeah, definitely. I'll look them up this tonight and kind of do some digging.
Yeah, for sure. Look them up, and I would say that my favorite flavor is sweet potato apple. It's delicious.
Their flavors look delicious right now. Yeah, appleberry, sweet potato, apple, and banana coca.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I like them. I'm really I'm savvy to sweet potato apple, and they have a new one out, the newer berry coming out. It's like to die for, but yeah, they're really, really good.
It'll be my new go-to snack in the middle of the day, maybe.
Dude, seriously, like I'm trying to help the market to like colleges around Boston, and like shoot that, and rather than doing a 5-hour energy, just grab some fuel to fire your way through your work, through your homework. You know what I mean? So we're kind of like working on that for them right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you guys have any last minute things you want to wrap up before we get out of here?
I think I'm good. I think actually what I'll do is I'll just drop my the guys I work with for sponsors, if that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And then also leave your contact info too for people.
Yeah, definitely. So Iron Fist Athletic Clothing, actually, they're a fantastic brand out of California. We've been working with them for probably about a year now. And same thing there. So Iron Fist Clothing started out a bunch of years ago, and just sort of branched off into more of like an athletic wear type of clothing. And same thing, guys, if you look at the website and you find anything you want, just literally hit up Chris, the owner, or hit me up, and he'll send you a bunch of free products. He's fantastic. Innovate Sneakers, we've been working with those guys for probably about like 3 or 4 months, and same thing, we're getting a lot of things planned out for next year with those guys and us. Fuel for Fire and also Heavy Athletics Nutrition is another protein company that we work with.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. And then if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to check you out, either in person, online, email?
So I would say, ironforceathletics.com, that's getting a huge overhaul right now. And I'm actually going to be updating it. We're doing a whole new blog series and all that stuff. And facebook.com/ironforceathletics. And to get a hold of me, I would just say mikehassman@gmail.com or ironforceathletics@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for being on the show. It was great to finally talk to you in person.
Yeah, man.
You and I have some things we're working on. I'm super excited about. It's gonna be pretty awesome. And we'll touch base with you soon.
I'm psyched, guys. Thanks so much for having me. And we'll definitely be talking. I'm sure we'll be talking like an hour anyway. So.
Yep. All right. Take care, everybody.
All right, guys. See you.
Okay. All right. See ya.